How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
The basis of what I call personal sovereignty is the fact that ultimately we are all going to be personally accountable to God. We are going to stand before God, and nobody will be standing by you. It will not be a group activity. Let's take a look at the scripture to make sure you know. Here's what it says. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so then every one of us shall give an account of himself or herself to God. Now, there's a lot of implications that must grow out of understanding this. That if I'm going to give an account to God someday, then I better be careful about my choices now. And there are three choice possibilities, and I want to show you what they are, so that we understand how we can increase, act on, and live out personal sovereignty in the right way. Some people hold themselves accountable only to themselves. In fact, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Look what happened. Every man did that which was, look at this, right in his own eyes. Can you imagine what would happen in a nation if everybody just did what was right in their own eyes? That's why there must be law and order, or society cannot survive. Now, social order is ordained by God, established by God in the 13th chapter of Romans. And it keeps us functioning, 200 million plus of us, within certain guidelines so that we minimize the damages we do to one another. But irrespective of that, there is still whole other areas of function that are legal to do but are not smart to do. And if we do what's right in those other areas, and what's right in our own eyes, it will produce the same kind of personal anarchy that we would have if we had it on a national level. So watch here now, because the scriptures are plain. When we talk here about man doing what's right in his own eyes, it's back to our diagram. This is a throne inside your heart, and it's where self is sitting as the king, answerable to nobody but self. And so, we understand how from the Scripture that the Lord instructs us, though, that ye shall not do, after all the things we do here today, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. So, the notion that as long as I'm within the law of the land, I can do what's right in mine own eyes is not true according to Scripture. And will bring complications, and in fact, is a bad choice. It's a bad choice to set ourselves up as the ultimate person to whom we give an account. Here's the reason why. O Lord, I know that the way of man, look at this, is not in himself. That's why you do not want to be the only person making decisions in your life. That's why you don't want to be the king. That's why you want God. You want somebody wiser, smarter than you, with more experience to guide you. Because it's not in a man to know his own way. And so here's this baby comes into the world, and hopefully and properly so, the parents are going to teach him the things of God, bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so this child can find his way through life. But it's even beyond the parents, unless the parents point the child to God. Because, now watch this, because it's not in man, look at this, it is not in man that walketh, he does not have the ability to direct his own steps. That's why self is not the one you want to give an account to. Look at this scripture. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Anybody who thinks that what he sees in his own eyes is right, the Bible says, he is foolish. Because the person who thinks that they're right in their own eyes will not hearken to the counsel of the wise because they think they're right. And they haven't the experience, none of us, the ability, the experience, or the wisdom to make choices. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. Nobody thinks there's anything wrong with them. But the Lord weighs the spirits. Another verse says, but the Lord tries the heart, the motives. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Now, this passage tells some of the reasons why this is not a very smart idea. Because those that are wise in their own eyes, guess what they do? Next verse. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Somebody who holds himself up as the only criteria for decision making will not know the trap of alcohol. That's why the scripture says, it's not for kings, Lemuel. It's not for kings. It's not for people of leadership. It's not for people who are smart and need to be smart to drink wine. In fact, the scripture says, don't even look on it. But what is this cum? Why does alcohol flow so freely in these America? I won't tell you the reason. It's because people are doing what they think is smart in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. It's woe unto them. And men who think they're strong mingle strong drink. Look at the next verse. And they justify the wicked because of the profits in it. In other words, wrong is okay as long as it's got a financial benefit to it. That's how people who are wise in their own eyes think. They don't mind a cheat here, a cheat there, or a loophole here, as long as it's profitable. They justify wicked activities for the purpose of getting a reward. And because of this, what they're really doing is taking away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Instead of having relationships that are based on what is right, a person who does what is wise in his own eyes, prudent in his own sight, destroys righteousness. And the Bible says exactly what will happen to them. As a fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff. Now watch this. So their root. This is an analogy of a tree. The foundation of this person's life shall be as rottenness. Now a tree with a rotten root is not going to survive. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A person who makes the foundation of his life only by what he sees as right in his own eyes is going to suffer, according to the scripture, this problem, that their root shall be as rottenness. And consequently, what should grow out of their life, the blossom, it'll go up like dust. And the reason why is because they have cast away the laws of the Lord of hosts, and they despised the word of the Holy One, and they sit as if their smarts were wiser than his. This is the consequence of doing what is wise in one's own eyes. In fact, a person who is wise in his own eyes, look what he does. He flatters himself in his own eyes. Now, you know, the scripture says that anybody flatters is laying a trap. Now, watch this. He flatters himself. Now, look at this word flatter, because the Hebrew word here means to smooth talk. He smooth talks himself. It is a self-con. It is a function of those who only see what is right in their own eyes and depend strictly on their own judgment. And so, their root is as rottenness, the blossom fades as the dust, because they despise the law of the Lord and his words. And they end up conning themselves in their own eyes, and they get an artificial idea of what they are. And what happens, this is iniquity, and anybody who is around them will find this flattering of themselves that they do, they will find it, they will despise it, they will hate it. They'll start pushing this guy, girl, whatever, away, because that's what happens with self. So don't be wise in thine own eyes. Be not wise. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. Now the second choice that's a wrong choice is to let other people rule your life. Self is a bad master. But watch this. If everybody's self is a bad master, why would you turn yourself over to someone else's self who can't master their life either? You all follow that? It's not smart to give other people the rulership of your life. Now, this is addressed frequently in Scripture as a very real problem. If I seek to please men, then I am not the servant of Christ. Who am I trying to impress? Do I persuade men, or am I persuading God? Do I seek to please men, or do I seek to please God? And the risk is that we end up living a life trying to please other people, and that has many traps in it. So instead of self being on the throne, we let our peers, we let the buddies at school pressure us into conforming our ways, our thinking, to be like theirs. And so the mob rules your life. Public opinion becomes important. And so our lives are taken over by other people. Now, here's the problem with that. The problem is that the other people judge by men's measuring stick and not God's measuring stick. Look at the scripture. Ye are they, watch this, which justify yourselves before men. You want to make people think you're okay. But God knows your hearts. Now watch this, because this is an astounding principle. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So when we think that we're doing the right thing by letting others lead us, guide us, making ourselves subject to them, we are subject to this evaluation by others that are not evaluated on the basis of God's ways. And this brings the snare. It is a snare to fear what other people think. In fact, there's two things you need to be aware of. Watch out for the fear of men and watch out for the praise of men. If you have to live and get strokes from people, be aware. In fact, Jesus put it this way. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's the condition that happens when we hold ourselves accountable to these others. Woe unto you, Jesus said, when all men shall speak well of you. Because even your fathers did that to the false prophets. So what's the benefit if the people who speak well of you are phony? What's the benefit if people that speak well of you are low of character? What benefit is it if you are spoken well of by crooks? What is the benefit of having people speak well of you if those people speak evil of dignitaries and parents and God and the church? You see, you're getting someone to speak well of you, but the quality of that person's opinion is so low. Sometimes we have to entirely remove ourselves from others. Don't miss this one now. In order to be successful. If you find that you cannot but fall under the influence of others, then what you need to do is flee from them. Now, let me give you three words here. If you can't regulate somebody who is evil around you, then you need to insulate yourself from them. First of all, regulate. Secondly, if they can't be regulated, then you need to insulate. If they are so aggressive that you cannot insulate yourself from them, you need to isolate yourself from them. So that's the three steps. Regulate, insulate, isolate, depending on whether they comply. If they'll be regulated, fine. If they won't be regulated, then you need to insulate yourself from them. If they can't be insulated and they still keep bringing evil to you and wrong ideas, etc., then you need to isolate. You need to get away from them. Look at the scripture that proves it. The problem is that they were mingled among the heathen. And I understand that there is a sense in which we have to mingle. We're out there in the world, whether it's on the job site or whatever it is. But here's the problem. If we do not follow the procedures of regulate, insulate, isolate, what happens is we will learn their works. And then what happens? We end up serving their idols, their goals, their ambitions. And those things become a snare, not only to them, but then unto us. Let's look at a couple more verses. I'm going fast. Make no friendship, no friendship, no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, don't even go to the grocery store with him. Don't go anywhere with him. Why? Don't go down the high school corridor with him. Don't go to a sports event with him. Here's why. Lest thou learn his ways, and you get a snare to your soul, because evil is contagious, so you must regulate it. If it can't be regulated, then you have to insulate, and if you can't insulate, then you need to isolate from it. You follow that? And it's required sometimes to be successful. The third choice of accountability is making your life accountable, not to yourself, not to others, but to God. And it's as if if you're gonna hold your life accountable to God, then it doesn't work to put yourself in the boss position or other people either. There's a conflict. These are choices, and there's no mixture of these. So if I am going to please other people, then just count on it. You cannot be the servant of Christ. Because Jesus said, if they hate me, guess what? They will hate you. And if they hate you, they will separate themselves from your company. Isn't that wonderful? You won't even have to isolate. They'll isolate. You keep up the standard, and they'll run from you. That's if you got God. Study. When you're studying, who are you trying to please? You want to study to show yourself approved unto God. This is a person who says, I'm going to hold myself accountable to God and God alone. So when I study, I'm doing it to get the approval of God. And I won't be ashamed, but I'll be able to rightly divide truth. He that commendeth himself, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. It doesn't matter if 10,000 people pat you on the back, if God doesn't. I would rather have God's approval than 10,000 people shouting, yay, go David. The approval of God is the ultimate thing I need. I don't. Now, I want you to notice a couple things here. To your own master, you stand or fall. And it doesn't matter. In fact, you know, when we get this straight, it will stop a lot of judging. Why should I judge you? You're going to rise or fall based on your relationship to God. To your own master, you stand or fall. So who art thou that judges somebody else's servant? You stand or rise to God and not to me, not to anybody else. And look at, this is exciting news. And I'm going to conclude in just a moment. That when you hold yourself accountable to God alone, that you will be held up by God. If you give yourself to be accountable only to God for the thoughts you think, the words you speak, the motives of your heart, and the actions of your life, those are the four things we're going to give an account for. If you hold yourself only accountable to God, and you think, well, I might fail, God says, hey, if you will do that, then I will help you fulfill your obligation. God is able to make you stand. This, dear friends, is the great news, really, of the gospel. You can't get yourself cleaned up in order to become saved. Salvation is the cleanup job. That would you don't get righteous in order to come to Jesus. You come just as you are, and then he'll clean you up. Otherwise, it would be like trying to clean the fish before you catch them. You come to Jesus, and when you enthrone him, I'm going to hold myself accountable to you. God says, whoa, that man, I'm going to help him. And the Lord helps you stand because you have put him in the place of ultimate accountability. Now, what does it mean to be accountable to God? Three things quickly, and I close. One, to be accountable to God means to be accountable to God's word. I am not accountable to God if I'm not accountable to what he says in this book. The way to show yourself accountable to God is I'm accountable to do what this book says. For man should not live but by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. Now watch what that means. It means I'm accountable not only for some of this, but all of it. Some people have this rational, now it's usually those people who think they're right in their own eyes. Well, I obey a God in this area, in this area, in this area. It's only this area that I'm wrong. To be accountable to God means to be accountable to God's word, all of it. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so, that's what it means to be accountable to God, to be accountable to words. Secondly, it means to be accountable to love. We love in every situation because God operates by love. Faith works by love. And so, when we are holding ourselves accountable to God, we know we're doing what God wants because we know we're doing what the Word says. But you know something? It is possible to do the Word with a wrong attitude. It's possible to beat people over the head with this book. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And the Spirit of God has to do with love. So love must, if God's ruling in my life, then the Bible's ruling in my life. If God is ruling in my life, love is ruling in my life, and I do nothing out of anything except love, which is to choose what is best for everybody around me without personal profit as my motive. If to be accountable to God is to be accountable to His Word, accountable to love, and there's lastly, it means to be accountable to rightful authorities. Sorry about this typo. In other words, by the way, a rightful authority is an authority designated and delegated by God. Right? Not only is the authority designated, like for example, a parent, that's a designated authority. Delegated, designated by God. But each authority is defined in its scope and its dimension. For example, the authority of your parents occurs until you get married. Right? For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. Until he leaves his father and mother, he's under his authority of his father. I didn't hear any amens on that one. God designated husbands to be an authority, but their authority is defined. It is not absolute, and it is only rightful when they function within the definition of their authority. And what is the definition of their authority? That definition is love your wives like Christ loved the church. It has to do with the loving leadership of your wife. And to do something outside of loving leadership is to leave the authority designated by God. You're going to have to suffer. Sorry. I don't have any option for you. Here's the scripture. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, because there is no power but of God. So you cannot be right with God and be wrong with authorities. This includes elders of a church, because they're going to give an account for your soul. This includes parents. This includes husbands. This includes teachers. This includes employers. But again, that definition is very defined. Your choice is to make a choice of who is going to be absolute in your life. Yourself, the people, or God. Those are the only three choices. To make the choice for God is to make the choice for love is to make the choice to obey rightful authorities. If you'll do this, God will hold you up. He will strengthen you. Hey, I'm sorry I was so short. Well, I guess you're not sorry I'm so short tonight. It's so noisy in here. It's time to end. But let's stand together, shall we? And amen.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.